Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Customer Experience Superheroes podcast. My name is Christopher Brooks and I'm your host throughout this series, a series in which we interact with some of the more interesting characters in the world of customer experience, some working as practitioners and helping take organisations forward in their endeavours to be more customer-centric, others providing services, advice, expertise, and progressing the discipline of academia in customer experience. But all of them have an interesting perspective and an interesting story to share. And today's guest is no different. Ricardo Salzgilka is widely known as the managing director of Eglobelis, which is a customer insight and experience organization, but is also probably equally well known as the founder of the European Customer Experience Organization. Now, I chose to catch up with Ricardo and talk about a topic that I know he's passionate and has a depth of expertise in, which is unrivaled by many, and that is design. We're talking about customer experience design, and we're going to talk about how you get individuals in an organization and customers to adopt changes in design. Ricardo, at long last, we get you on the Superhero Podcast. It feels like it's been a lifetime. It feels like we've just been missing each other all along the way. But welcome, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Christopher.
Thanks
for having me here.
No, we're delighted to have you here. And we know we've got a really interesting topic to talk with you about, one that's possibly more for the advanced CXer, I find, but we'll come on to that. Maybe our listeners will disagree, but I think you've got to, with all due respect, because I'm probably older than you, you need to have been around a while to make this one work.
I'm 25 only.
Yeah, so that's you're 20, but there you go. Always 25. That's good then. Okay. So Ricardo, would you like to introduce yourself and the organization you represent, and then we'll let people know how we met each other. So over to you.
Sure. So first of all, we met through the ECXO as you become one of the co-founders. And that's how I met Christopher a few years ago. I think it's 3 or 4 years. I don't remember. 3 years, yes. And I am the MD of a small company that work with B2B large companies such as Samsung, SAP, and other companies, HP, etc., to help them to create a better customer experience through technology. Our specialization is really technology. I'm also the co-founder with also Christopher and many other people of the ECXO, which is the European Customer Experience Organization, which aims to educate corporate in Europe and to improve the customer experience to get to a maturity level in 10 years from now, altogether in all Europe, the 50 countries. That's the overall idea.
Excellent.
Did I present myself well?
Yes, absolutely. It's the person I know, so that's good. So what was your path? Some people come in via customer service, others via marketing, some are technicians. What was your road to customer experience, Ricardo?
So I come from professional services all my life, but I always have this challenge because I was working in a company called Zamdocs, and I always have this challenge that I thought that it was super abusive toward the customers. Many requests, what they wanted, they have to pay, everything they have to pay. And we was like negotiating those small change requests that would take 5 minutes to do it. And I thought this cannot be the way. But I didn't know a definition of what I was looking for. Then I went to live in the US in 2004 to 2006, if I'm not wrong. And I also studied there. And I am diabetic type 1, so this is a big part of my life. And one day when I arrived from Germany to the US, my suppliers of my pump, which is what a diabetic used to inject insulin in his body, intercutaneous, is a machine. I didn't know what to do because my suppliers was very low. So you can understand how good I was in customer experience that I didn't know that you have a call center to call. I didn't know that customer services would answer. I call it the headquarters in Minnesota, Medtronic, the biggest medical device company in the world, with amazing company. And I said, look, I need help. I don't have my suppliers. I just arrived from Germany. And all the doctors tells me that I cannot get inside a line because they have too many customers. And besides that, I did not have also a card that you need in the US because I was working for a company. I did not yet have the card. No problem, sir. We will help you. Let me talk with the representative in your area. And this is B2B, this is B2C, excuse me. In your area, and in 24 hours, she'll call you back. Coming from Germany, from Israel, you are skeptical already what they say, what they do. So she was about to close the phone, to hang up the phone, and she said, do you need any other thing? And out of my frustration, I told her, not expecting absolutely nothing from her, I told her, look, it's very tough to find a doctor here. Everybody tells me that they have a line and they have to wait and I don't have a card, so it's a problem. No problem, sir. We are going to help you. Close the phone. Less than 24 hours in the morning, 7:30. Okay. I was in very close to Philadelphia, in the other side of the river in New Jersey. Somebody calls me and she says, hi, Mr. Gucco. Hi, my name is Fuebaba. I don't remember. And look, first of all, I want to tell you that we are going to send you right away our suppliers. Wow, so this is 2004 or 5. And when she told me that, I was already in the model of, wow, that's amazing. Let me pay you. Let me give you my credit card. And said, no, if you remember, this time you did not have many tools to pay online as you was at the beginning of social media. No, no problem, sir. We are going to send you. Don't need to pay nothing. It's $200, but we are going to send you. And when you start to work with us later, you have your card and you pay normally. I said, wow. And then in the end of the phone, she said, this was a 10 minutes call. And they said, I will send you today by Federal Express, whatever. And I got in the end of the day. And she said also, by the way, sir, tomorrow or in maximum 48 hours, I will call you with three doctors. I was, wow, this is amazing. Yeah. And I was really thinking, why we don't do those things in the B2B world, treat people so respectfully like that. Obviously, Medtronic have the understanding that we need them. It's not that you can just fail. You cannot fail there. Less than 24 hours later, you are not going to believe on that. They call me, sir, I have three doctors for you. And she told me the three doctors. And then look at that. You know that I don't care about religion. I don't care about color. I don't care about absolute gender. I don't care about those things. And then she said the following thing that you'll be stunned. She said, by the way, this doctor here is Jewish. And then, I didn't know how to define it. It's hyper-personalization, yes. But she, without me saying that I was from Israel or I'm from Germany, she understood basically my name because South, that every South in the world is probably Jewish. And she said that I was, wow, this is amazing. Then I went to, so they sent me everything. I have a doctor already. They arranged it for me. It was a really amazing experience. I was like, wow, having a shock of culture, let's say in that way. And then I went to the Barnes & Noble, is a shop in the US. Very often, everybody buys books there. And I love Starbucks because you can find 100 books that you like in the same place. I could expand my time there all my life. And what happens at that time is that I found a book out of the blue that was a history about a taxi driver. And that was Shep Hyken. And I said, wow, but this is what we need in B2B because it's so bad. The book of Shep Hyken about the taxi driver that for me is the best history that he tells in his videos changed my concept. So when I started to lead professional services, obviously this was not mature in that in 2005, we just started to speak, have Don Peppers talking about hyper-personalization already, but there was a few guys talking about that. And obviously, Peters, as well, he was always talking about that, about excellence, etc. Then I understood we have to bring that for professional services, for sales. But I didn't know how to do that. So I started to study, to read more books and to understand and talking with people how you are doing that and how Medtronic did that. So just to explain how I looked for the guy that was leading experiences in Medtronic. I don't remember his name right now, but He told me how they did that and how they designed the experience and how they trained the people. And they understood also that the people that they are going to hire is not a normal kind of guy, because they have to be a person that is extremely empathetic, because they are dealing in all the divisions with very sick people, or people that have a disease as I have, which is not a disease, a situation, diabetes type 1. And they train the people super well, and the company is structured so well. And then I started to implement small things in the beginning. In Amdocs was hard for me because I did not have a position that was a leadership position. I was a project manager. Later, when I become a head of professional services already in Germany, I started to implement different things. I didn't know that you have to measure, for example. Slowly, I was learning how you do the things. And then reading and doing, reading and asking questions all the time. And then the things grew for me. I become the senior director for Ericsson around the globe, let's say in that way. And things there, I have the chance actually to develop certain things that I wanted. And when I got the opportunity to work for Oracle, I was observing the people that was part of my teams. And I said, oh, those guys are so good delivering the solution, designing the solution, developing the solution sometimes, because in that time, we just started with cloud solutions, as we have the legacy systems, the huge machine, the huge systems, as you remember. And the amazing thing here is that in Oracle, I understood that we can make this successful, treating the employee well, not yet involving the HR as we are doing today, as or creating onboarding. I did not thought in that time about onboarding. But the interesting thing here is that I understood what's possible. But what was missing was to have the people train it in not just keeping that beautiful delivery, but to spot opportunities, commercial opportunities. Because if you don't grow, what you are doing is for nothing. Yeah? The objective in the end of the day is to grow, but having loyal customers all the time, to create adoption and engagement. So we created that, still based on what I heard, still until today there are some course that I don't know the name today, but it's commercial awareness for people in professional services. We was training the people how to spot, like you have, I am with you already. I'm working in your house right now, in your company. It's a project, normally projects in Oracle was 100, 200, 300 people, huge projects as multi-million dollars. Why not use the opportunity to spot more opportunities to expand upsales and cross sales without doing that? Because I will bring later the business development to do their part. But I want to recognize, I want to help you to grow. Yes, that's the mindset. And that makes us very successful in terms of growing accounts. So we started in Holland, for example. We did the financial entity of Holland that calls Belastingdienst. I don't know if you ever heard this name, because it's strange. It's like the Ministry of Financing in the UK. Or in Germany. And the project was $50 million and was had a lot of troubles, because we was working with a government, and the people in the government, they work different than you and me. As we work like 7 to 7, they work from 8 to 3. And then you cannot deliver what you promised in 2 years. Yeah, so that becomes a problem. I was trying to deal with that and creating more opportunities to grow the accounts. So we have many challenges. It was a very confused and very problematic program. It was all, even in the news, because they was criticizing us. But in the end of the day, we delivered a very successful initiative, okay? And it was a bit more expensive than they expected, and because time, as you cannot work for them, they have to be there to deliver, especially when you are dealing with financial, very delicate data of the people. And there I already started to implement those small things and become successful, okay? Ericsson the same, and Intra later on, which was a total different kind of company for me, because it was a SaaS, was the real first SaaS solution that I worked with. Although, in my experience, Oracle invented SaaS solutions. Because why I'm saying that? Because we have a project in Congo, look at that. Have a project in Congo that actually in the end of the day we lost for SAP, but they requested from us to decrease the cost as more as possible, but they want to keep the data. So all the administrative thing could happen in Europe or in the US in Oracle managed services in that time. So this, in my opinion, becomes a kind of cloud solution without defining that as cloud solution, because we have the database organized already. And in the last minute, SAP did a very good proposal for them, and they dropped us, although we invested and they pay us back for investment, because it was a lot of effort in this thing. This is the way I created my career, and later on I created my own company based in design. One of the things that I observed, and that leads us to adoption and design, is that it's very difficult to adopt for people, for so many different people, and so many different cognitive understanding. As you like math, I like physics, and the other like chemistry. And we cannot be good in everything. So maybe Elon Musk or Bill Gates, but not everyone. But the main point here is that I understood that there was problems in many big companies in design. Oracle have many troubles in design to create adoption, because one of the things that I learned early on, that the executive, they invest because you have a brand, they know that you are going to deliver, but they don't take in consideration normally the user, the guy that's going to adopt or not your software. Salesforce, the CRM that's, in my opinion, the most successful initiative in the world, is a cloud solution. But when you enter in the cockpit, for example, you are not, I don't like the design of this cockpit. Looks, if you don't understand what's going on there, it's very hard to get around, because it was not well taught for the human brain. The challenge is to create something that will fit everyone. And this challenge, unfortunately, is unsolvable, because nobody will like everything. It's like you, a BMW, I like something else. And that's the normal thing in life, yes. From that perspective, so I left Intra, and I become part of this small initiative that somebody invited me to create, a company that will educate corporates about CX, which... And I said, okay, let's do it. So I knew people. I was in London many times presenting and talking and participating on talks. And I knew people there. And somebody told me, let's go to this talk here. Okay. And I said, which talk? It would be a SVP of Samsung speaking in this event in London. This was. I said, let's go. And I didn't know who was the speaker. Okay. I did not have a clue about it. Samsung in my life, you know. I have the phone of my company and one those blue boxes from Nokia, if you remember. So the funny thing here is the following. We went there and nobody went to him to ask for his card. It was like 100 people maybe there. I thought it was totally strange that the people don't go there to ask him. So I went there and said, wait, hi, my name is Ricardo. I am trying to do something, and can I have your card? Maybe you can talk later about some ideas that we have. Yeah, sure. Let me give you here. So that's also. Time comes by. 3 months later, I decided to go really with the new initiative that was Z-Globalis in that time. And I dropped him a message by email. He never answered. I dropped a second message following up, never answered. So then I told my partner and also my wife at that time, I told her, look, it's not going to happen. I will have to take a job back, because it's not going to happen. And then I got a message from his secretary saying, Mr. Lee got your answer, but he's very busy because his father had a stroke. Then I went to the Google radio, whatever it was, Yahoo, I don't remember. And then I took a look. And then I understood who was Mr. Lee. This was the luckiest day of my life. Mr. Lee was the grandson of the founder of Samsung. So this is a wow, yeah. Then I said, I was super excited that he even sent me a message. I said, wow, that's amazing. And then a relationship developed again. We met because he was always flying. He met me again in London. That time I did not have to pay. That was a good thing. And I stay in the Hilton in the center of, it was very good for me. And they talked with me. I told them my ideas. I learned about Samsung, all the challenges that they have in design and that in adoption. Because when you talk about Samsung, I'm not exactly talking about those cell phones. Yes.
Sure.
We are talking about a huge company that have eight big divisions, that have so many technologies, so many things that you don't know at home. right now listening to us that I really like them. So the first challenge that they have is to create adoption. So that was my first focus with them. And they said, if you do that well for us in the first instance, we're going to expand your account and you are going to grow together. That was the approach that they have. So I know that's a chance that you don't get every day. So the first thing that we did with the software, that you are not aware that they have a lot of things in different solutions. They have also a lot of hardware, but they also are telecommunications and they do software as well. So what you help them to do is things that would be bearable for your brain in a easy way, okay? So the first thing I remember, I wrote actually, this is the first time that I appeared in Forbes that Shep Hyken used my name, was exactly because of that. Because I told them the following, look, you are giving, like SAP and Oracle, all those guys do the same, and that's overwhelm you when you have to adopt or learn something else. If you have 10 solutions for a mathematical problem, you never will find a solution because it's hard to think about one. How? Yeah. So what happens here was the following. I told them maybe, so learning here, we understood that if you offer three main features that will solve the problem, it will be much more effective than offering all 10 different things, small things that will change and help the customer to answer. Because then you are decomplicating or making easier, or what they call today a seamless experience, yes, but that was old word already. and that was the intention. So obviously all the softwares today, they have authorities. Yes? So you are going to see that and the other guy will see that. Yes, because if you are the manager, you are seeing 10 features that are important and the other guy is seeing three, and that's normal. But not to adopt the services. And that's the most important part, because what you want when you have a contract with some company, especially today in cloud, in SaaS solutions, or if it's a legacy systems that they hopefully that soon will disappear in a certain way, because I think SaaS is a great solution, you want the guy pay you already the fee of the licenses, and that's a lot of money oftentimes, okay? Although it's cheaper today comparing with what was in the past, is still very expensive for companies, and you are paying something that you have is a kind of marriage. Yes, you don't want a divorce because it will cost you a lot. So the best way to do that, yes, is to create something that will really help the people to adopt your customer. Mm-hmm. So in that time, we were not talking about onboarding, okay? But then we started to facilitate, not creating videos, but creating explanations. And the idea that we have, and there's a company in Munich actually that they did that so well, is to have intuitive design, which is easy to say, and I'm saying here is very easy for me, but in practically speaking, it's very difficult to do it. So this company in Munich that they are here today, they have a model that you drive where you have to go from here. It's like of arrows. It's really something totally nuts. Don't look very beautiful, I must say, but it's really useful for people that wants to make your employees adopt something. So this is always was the mindset, how I can create grow for my existing accounts, okay? So you have a license that you sold, now you have to ensure that they're going to adopt, okay? The first company that offer analytics of the other clients in the world was not what they say that was Salesforce, actually was Samsung. The only difference is that Samsung never said that, but they always did that because they have so many clients trusting they, because Samsung is huge, okay? It's not what, I think today they have maybe 15 or 20% of the GDP of Korea, but it's a super big company. And they have companies that use them and you don't know. So we helped them to create those things in the beginning. Later, as we succeeded, okay, did not take them 10 months to understand that we succeeded, because the idea was, I think we worked with a very good design group internally in the company to change the mindset as well. We understood that many of people designing solutions and designing experiences was focusing satisfy it's a funny thing, but it's really the opposite of customer experience, satisfy their managers, because the culture, oh, you are my manager, Chris, so I'm going to bend to you and say you are right and I'm wrong. But unfortunately, this doesn't work in that way. So we started to use feedbacks for that. And that's already was developing the companies for feedbacks to get, was not so advanced as it is today, but we start to understand feedbacks was super important. Sometimes we have sessions with customers or we have conferences that they use it to demonstrate new products, potential new products, to see how the potential, what works, what didn't. So this is the way we developed this relationship during the years. And later on, I worked with the, and I still now working in the what calls the holding, okay, with the strategic Samsung, which is the holding of the eight divisions. Sometimes you see that as a six, but it's really eight divisions, okay. And we work with all acquisitions, especially during COVID, we worked with all acquisitions to test, understand their culture, and see if it's not that we want to go there and change something, but if something is wrong, we have to adapt for Samsung basic mission, and they have a kind of mission ladder that you have to follow these things, expecting people, blah, blah, blah. So it was helping them to adapt those things during COVID. And we also, during this period of Samsung, we developed something for them specifically that helps the marketing to launch products faster, because Apple, to be faster than Apple, that calls wait, I forgot the name now. I knew that it's going to happen. This, I always forget. Is the, I forgot. In a few minutes, we'll return. But we developed the analysis for every product, for perception analysis.
Okay.
So we also made the trade for Samsung. They patent today, because in that time, I did not have money. So they patent for them, unfortunately. Okay. But it's something that really works well to create a product. You can have perception analysis of customers and have perception internally, and you can always have the roadmap together with that to improve and how you are going to launch that in the markets and in different markets. So it's very interesting because you have the cultural differentiation there for every different market.
Sure.
That's plus minus the history of me in 10 minutes talking without break. So I have to rest right now.
without break or breathing. It's a really interesting journey you've been on, and it feels like it's that moment of discovery where you, wow, there's something here that I'm really curious about. That curiosity is one of the superpowers we get very excited about, is because you don't know where it's going to take you, and you just have to trust your instincts. And sometimes it can be a dead end, but other times, like you mentioned there, just the curiosity of, why are people not talking to Mr. Lee? Let me just go and say hello. It's been very much a serendipity moment for you. Your course and the work that you've done would be potentially very different if you hadn't had the bravery against the crowd to go and say, hi, this is me. And obviously, from his position as well, the kind of enlightened leader to take a chance and go, I don't know what it is, but I know this guy's onto something, and to hook up together,
yeah,
and take it forward. And what now seems probably common sense, and of course, this is all good practice, and you've got rigor like patents in place and methodologies in place, all came from that original, what if I just go and say hello to him? And I think that's really important to understand in terms of customer experience, is you have to remain fiercely curious. The moment you stop being curious is the moment you're done. Absolutely. And I guess on your journey along the way, there's been a lot of experimenting. There's been a lot of testing and trying. And when it's worked, you've rejoiced. And when it's not worked, you've learned and been able to build going forward. Would that be the case?
Exactly that. So, for example, I thought when they started with the, let's say, the fashionette part of design thinking, yeah, that I think was some American company. I don't remember the name as well, I'm sorry. But there's an American company that started that. I thought, wow, that's so cool. And then I started to learn about that. And I did a course about that. And I said, this is, you help me millions here to be better than agile. Yeah. And then you start to try things. Agile, there's two levels. As you have the culture of agile, that's totally different, and you have the implementation of agile, that is two different levels. And both of them was super useful for us in terms of adaptability, and also in terms of the creating cloud solutions and helping the companies design better things. And and that's the kind of things that I did.
Mm-hmm.
Is you when you enter in CX, you are always learning. You don't know everything. And whoever tells you that they know everything is simply impossible. And you know what, you are strong, I'm not, and that's, we can collaborate on that, and that's the beauty. But is, I'm always learning here, yes. And I can tell you that in Samsung, in SAP, they ask me things that I never did. I know that this is one of the reasons they come to me, because I am not a guy that likes to repeat a project. I like to do different things. I'm very impatient of repeating myself. As I think I mentioned to you about ECXO, that I have to repeat certain things that we are trying to automate now, so it's not easy. But this is the challenge, yes, to learn all the time as you go, yes, and getting as more information and accurate information, because in my opinion, there are many people that say things that are not really tested them and become sometimes of theory. And I not always, so I'm very careful about those things. I always trying to do things that taking conclusions for material that I think are really people did things to understand better. And I can illustrate one thing for you about design thinking adoption. We have, I don't, do you remember the name of this telecommunications meeting that they have in Hanover every year? I don't remember the name of the, it's a big conference with all companies around the globe, and they have also in Barcelona. So we tested before COVID, actually. No, 1 year and a half before COVID. Excuse me. We tested something that we had idea, okay, that was totally nuts idea. Somebody have a dog in his house, just to tell you how we create this product and the experience tower around this product. A guy have a dog in his house in Korea and was talking, having a coffee or a tea, I don't remember. And he said, "Wow, I cannot fit my, I have to go all the times back to my home and fit my dog." And then we start to brainstorm, just like a friends speaking, and you created the idea of a Bowly, which will be some kind of product that is a kind of a small robotic thing that will be empathetic, that will look nice, and will take care of your dog at home, and you can see from your phone. Okay, that was the idea. Totally nuts. The 1 year took. Somebody loved the idea for home, automatic home that you have today in the US, especially. You have many homes that you can open your window, can you can open your fridge, you can know how many products you have in the fridge. So adapting to this package that Samsung have, they want to add this product. So we went to many different conferences and expositions, etc., to test the product, not me exactly, but other people, to get feedback about the product that you created in two prototypes, okay? Because we never know, prototypes always, you have problems with prototypes. And it was very successful. So we created the product, okay? The first version was terrible because we did not talk about many things. After that, we get together again in not in Seoul, but in Suwon, the second city of South Korea. And you redesigned the product with a cam that you could see the dog, that you could control the opening of the food there from your mobile phone. Very cool thing, and was very empathetic toward the dog. So you could talk with your dog through this kind of robotics, which calls a Bowly, called Bowly. And it's a really cool thing. It's very sympathetic in a certain way. And now it's selling not millions as of, they sell phones, as because it's not such kind of product, but it's a product for top class A, let's say, top people that have a super house and all those kinds of things. But it's very adoptable because people love this, that will help their dogs, and the dog get very friendly with this thing as well. So it's nice to have. So this is the mindset that we have, not creating products, because that's not my specialty, but creating the experience that you're going to deliver it. Our, here you have to think about dog minds, and was laughing on that all the time, but no, they was in your, even in your journey maps, to understand how they, how it's going to work, this thing. We have to design like the dog is a client, yes, because that was the dog or cat as a man. This is the mindset we have of creativity. And
That's so important, is the word they use, the mindset. I was listening to an article only yesterday about how for a dog, their nose is the same as social media for us. So their nose will inform them who's been in the areas they've been in, who hasn't been there. They catch up with their colleagues, and they're not their colleagues, sorry, their dog friends by these smells. And it says every time you see an owner pulling their dog away because they're smelling too much, it's like taking a smartphone off a child and saying you can't interact with your friends. And I think that's the beauty about really good CX design, is that you, exactly as you explained there, Ricardo, you get into the mindset and you envisage the experience you want, And then the brilliant technicians and product builders create the products that create that experience that you know is going to be the one that connects.
This is the, doesn't take the value of the first steps of CX, as which is the most important, the culture, having a buy-in of the
Sure.
CEO,
Yeah,
yes, and cascading that down with their strategy of execution. But this is what happens in the daily life of CX. The daily life of CX, not that we are sitting there writing articles or looking for the people and enjoy our lives. We are working, yes, and that's hard work to get to the level that you want to get. And those companies, independent if it's products or services, that they do that right and they facilitate the life of their customers, creating something that will be adoptable easy, what you call seamless experience without problems. That's what will work, and that's proven that works as today. That's the mindset.
And do you think, Ricardo, this word that you've used several times, the adoption, I think I've got an answer to this myself, but do you think it's taken for granted? Do you think people in CX fail to understand just how important it is for them to understand the rules for adoption, to understand that people's behavioral change won't happen just because you've designed something? You really have to get them to adopt. If you think about it in human terms, adopting another person into your life is a huge thing. It changes you. It changes what you are, and or maybe it's what you've wanted to be. So I think it's a really powerful word. And have you? I guess it's used on purpose, adoption, because it's really significant.
I'm not sure. I don't know everybody. Okay. I know people that are very practical. Okay. In the industry, I don't know everybody, but I think the people understand adoption today as something that you have to create. Obviously, you have to facilitate for the customer to want to work with you long term. Yeah, that's the obvious thing. But I'm not sure that they understand how hard is to get this done, you understand? Because it's not a beauty all the time. It's not although CX today is very sexy word, it's not easy to do. You have to convince a lot of people. You have to work with the product, for example, product marketing, product design. You have to help them to create, and that's about the culture of the company. There starts also your adoption because it's all about design. So this is the first part. I don't know what's the state of the mind of people, but I can tell you that I observe things, not always happy with them in terms of understanding design. People say that the experience design is designing the basic customer experience from culture, strategy, data, measurement. I think it's much more than that. I think it includes design, includes cultural understanding. Your ability to use, and that's something that I talk a lot about, employee experience is the most important thing for me, not because, and that's true, employees are the responsible to deliver a great experience. We all know that, that's a given. But they are also the important part of creating and improving what you already have. And that's a missing point because many companies lost the ability, and the best example that you can see here, and that's really happened. SAP. SAP, huge company, multi-billion dollars company. I love them. But the sad truth is that they spree of acquiring cloud solutions to not lose the leadership in the market was due to the fact that everybody that was working there in certain moment was focused on closing fires for their managers instead of having the quality time for yourself to create some ideas. For example, my best time creating ideas is when I'm running, not in the gym, but when I'm running, I'm thinking like, I don't know why it's like that, but that's my nature. All right. You need to give space for the people. They don't have to work like 8 to 7, like a nuts guy, just to deliver and close your. They need a quality time to reflect, or maybe this feature to discuss. And also, all the things that we always discuss that is about giving an environment that you feel secure to express yourself. Because if you are afraid of your managers that you say something that is inappropriate or something that sounds dumb and the people laugh at you, so then you never say again. That's the obvious thing. That's the human behavior. So it's very important to have this place, and we use Agile that a lot for that. Because there you have a safe environment to talk any bullshit and make all the assumptions that you can do and you can test. You can... This is very important to create innovation, because there are 8 kinds of innovation. There are 2 of them that I don't like. That is copiation, because people today copy each other, and that's really, for me, is not innovation. That's just copying other feature from your competitor. Real innovation comes from great ideas, from people digging the things and the problems, taking the feedbacks of customers, digging in and say, okay, we cannot deliver this feature or this solution because it will be very costly for us, but we can do this work around. Maybe we kill that, we kill this feature here, and you do this feature that will be cheaper for us. There are so many solutions in terms of creating the mindset. So if you ask me, and concluding to your question, I don't think that the people are very aware of what really is adoption. It's nice to talk about convenience. The book of Shep Hyken, Convenience Revolution, is a good book, very good book. However, there's a problem here. I told him that, and he understands that. This talks about the front line. That's everything's easy. I go in there, I pick and go. But think about Amazon for a second. How difficult it is to create this one-click experience for you?
Yeah.
And it's very difficult. It's very costly. And a lot of people are involved in the process of creating this thing. It's not easy. So the people don't think about this part. That is the hard part. We both can talk about CX. Oh, wow, it's amazing and beautifully. But to get there with a company is really challenging. As you need the right team on board, right culture.
I think that's one of the, I love working in B2B, spend most of my time in B2B.
Yeah, me too.
It allows you to dive into supply chains, because when you have this one click, you realize actually there's contracts in place that have been agreed for 3 years and aren't going to change. And therefore you can't get anywhere near this. And these two systems will never talk to each other because they're always one. They buy the older version, you buy the newer version. It's so much more complicated. And I think you're absolutely right. I think that's where, when you say there are those who, you know, there are those on, who take one particular path on CX, and great, they're standing on a podium and telling everyone the vision. And there are others who are rolling their sleeves up and trying to work out, how do we get your contract to work with this contract so we can achieve that one click idea?
And you remind you one thing about processes. Companies in supply chain, because I work at a lot of supply chain organizations when I was in Intra, they have such complex systems. And they make the lives of your employees sometimes very hard. Imagine when you return to a big company for a trip, or you went to meet somebody there, you have to report this trip and your cost, and you have 100 bills, and you have to put in a system. And that takes so much time. And this turns the people off. And the best example for that is Oracle. When I was working there, I was thinking already in the plane, after coming one time from a trip of 2 weeks, I was thinking the plane had turned, and I said, wow, now I have to make this nightmare experience. No, if you facilitate the life of our employees with your process, I'm not saying not controlling, because obviously costs you need to control, but controlling in a smart way that's not going to doubt the trustworthy, and maybe it's not the right word, trustworthy, but that you trust the people, and you have to interest, if you hire people, you have to trust them.
Yeah,
this one thing. And you mentioned about supply chain. Supply chain now is getting to CX. I'm seeing many different things happening. They are now asking how we can improve that. There was a company, they did not, I told you actually, now Cargo, Lufthansa Cargo, they approached me about that. Remember I mentioned that for you in a
conversation? I think you did, yeah.
And they approached me about that. And Intra is doing that right now. Companies from Cargo, there are so many. There are Hamburg Süd, Hapag-Lloyd, you have 1 billion in the world, Steam. They're all thinking how we can improve the lives of our employees that are the tough workers.
Yeah.
They are thinking about small things that we improve in the end of the day. Okay, so just taking on what you were saying before about supply chain. And I told about, you were talking about, for me, about processes, turns the people off many times.
You said earlier you can remember the name of a company. There's one that I wish I could remember, an American company who are just the best at this kind of, they've really understood that what they provide, parts for machineries, for factories and things. And what they've done is they've gone from, well, you come to us and get the parts, to understanding, building their business around, how do we make it easier for the employees who fix our machines? and it's revolutionized their channel management, their approach, their technology, everything. And this is a company that could have been very old and dusty and stayed there with a great big factory saying, come to us and we'll get them. But no, they've turned it around and they have vending machines and they work out how long it takes that employee to walk. By the time he gets here, let's put a coffee machine for him to have as well. And now we actually know stock management to the moment. So that can help the organization and that can reduce their costs. And they're constantly thinking about how they can use the data that they now got to improve and reduce the time it takes for the supply chain to work from end to end. I think it's a really exciting space. And I think from what you're saying, it's where CX design is really exciting as well, because you've got B2B, you've got very people very connected to the commercials of the organization. I find in that space, they understand the commercial of the organizations better, and they're able to really trust their colleagues to deliver and improve the experience in terms of designing a better experience, because you're always thinking about my colleagues around me as well as my customers at the same time. And I think having the balance of customer, colleagues, and the business priorities is absolutely essential. I think we could carry on talking on this. It's really fascinating to go down this really deep cavern and understand it, because I think sadly a lot of people who are in customer experience, both client side and practitioners, only get to tap into it lightly sometimes. Maybe the product team don't let them in, or someone else is actually responsible for this. But you've got a wealth of experience in this space, and just hearing the excitement in your voice revisit some of these moments is wonderful. Now, just to conclude, now, this is not something that's exclusive to Samsung. This capability that you have, which is pretty unique, I'd say, in our industry, you're happy for other people to approach you and talk to you about it. I mean, you've got some opportunities to talk with people about CX design and how it's properly done if they want to reach out to you.
Yeah, they can always approach me in the LinkedIn or in igloballis.com, which is
okay.
Where I am.
Cool, great.
It's easier to find me. I'm always around social
wonderful.
Media.
I know from past encounters, you're always open to sharing kind of your advice and your thoughts as you've done in this session. So I'm sure there will be many CX managers sitting there thinking, just how do I describe the experience I want to be delivered, and how do I engage my teams to create that experience? And thirdly, how do I get my customers to truly adopt it? And I think that's the triple whammy that you've described there.
Yes, and I just want to think, customer success, they deal a lot with adoption, but they deal a lot of with adoption, onboarding, etc., which is normal for CX and for CX. Both are in this almost the same as in certain way. But I think having the approach for creativity and adoption from the standpoint of customer experience, that's enriched the company more, because you have the umbrella for the company. You understand almost every touch point, not just of the customer, with the partner, with your employee. You have to have all the picture. You are the helicopter looking down and touching all the points. And every point is very important.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. Excellent, Ricardo. Well, it's been a delight. I'm really glad we got that topic out. And as I say, in terms of previous guests we've had on, we've never had that depth of discussion about it. And I think we now know that when you're not all over social media, it's because you're deep in session with clients trying to solve these problems, which is what true CXs should be really doing. So congratulations to you.
Well, thank you very much, Christopher. It was a pleasure to be here with you.
No, thank you. Thank you, Ricardo. It's been too long to get here, but I'm sure people are going to really value the journey you've been on and the work you're up to. And I'm sure they'll be curious to learn some more as well. So thank you very much for your participation.